Shall we bow our heads? Our Father in heaven, we do again just open our hearts to you this morning. We continue to. Lord, we thank you for the words that you have spoken to us already. We thank you that we can rest when there's turmoil in the world, when there's rioting, when there's protesting, when people are against each other, when many things around us feel uncertain. We thank you that we can rest in you. We also thank you, Lord, for the children's lesson and just about these snares that Satan sets for us. We ask that you would please help us, deliver us. Lord, deliver us from our adversary. God, this morning, as we look at the subject you have put out here, we would ask in the name of Jesus that you would please come. Would you please come and stir in my own heart the burden and help me to convey the message in a clear way that we could understand. I ask that you would give me thoughts and inspiration. I also ask, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, just work in all of our hearts in a way that it would speak to us, create a real awareness. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So, Lord, please continue to use your word for us here today. Please, we welcome you. Lord, may your grace be upon us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know that I have ever preached on the subject before. The torment of hell. I don't think I ever have. But the last couple days, my mind has been going and going a lot. And I've been thinking about the torment of hell. There's a relative of mine, it's a first cousin, that on Thursday late afternoon evening, he was snatched into eternity, just like that. He's gone, never to return again. And I received this little photo on my phone of my uncle standing there on the street corner up there close to Brother Juglick's house, standing there on the corner crying and sobbing for his son that's never going to return again. And it made me think. And my mind has gone many ways in the past couple days. And this evening there's a viewing There's only one viewing, and it's tonight, and we want to take our family and go. But it's my cousin. It's my cousin. And to my understanding, my knowledge, there's no profession of any walk with the Lord there. There's no profession of being converted. There's no profession of any walk with God or going to church or anything. He's 27 years old. But my mind, I think it'd be maybe good if I would just relate a little bit of some of the memories. And I'm going to speak about this young man's father, which is my uncle. I know him very well. As a young boy, my uncle, this young man's father, he lived on this road. Just follow it down there. You know, many of you know where Trail Plumbing is. And just on the far side of Trail Plumbing, there's an old farm buildings on the left-hand side. And some of my earlier recollections of my uncle was the fact that he's a teenage boy who had a difficult time surrendering his own will. Had a difficult time. And I have recollections as a maybe 8-10-year-old boy. I remember on the left side of the road there's this maple tree out in the yard. And I remember my uncle's car, he had a car, and it would sit under that tree. And when I would come home to, or when I would come to see my grandparents, there's this little car sitting there. He left home, my uncle, he left home as a young man, and he spent time in Arizona. He spent a lot of time traveling. He enjoyed traveling. He's a very independent young man. He traveled a lot. I can still, in my ears, I remember many of the stories that he would come and bring of the different adventures that he had while traveling. Traveling with almost no money. Traveling and making a little bit of money so he could keep traveling. I remember my uncle telling us the story of one night he was laying out on the beach by the ocean, and he slept there under the stars on the beach. And he tells this story. He tells this story of waking up and two big men standing over him, looking at him, and him realizing the danger that he was in, realizing that these men were up to no good, and him holding very still. And a couple days later, he called his father on the phone, my grandpa. And the first thing that my grandpa said, what happened that night? And he gave him the very specific night. And my grandpa said, that night I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep that night. And I knew you were in danger, and I prayed and I prayed. What happened that night? There's lots of opportunities, but there are small decisions that were made in my uncle's lifetime. He's a brother to my mom. There's lots of small decisions that were made in his lifetime. As a young man, he ended up getting married. And I remember about a year prior to Martha and I getting married, us getting the phone call that he had his third child, and it was a little boy, his only little boy. They ended up having three girls and one boy. But I remember about a year after, or it was about a year before we got married, receiving this phone call saying a little boy was born. I remember the many times that my mother took care and she babysat these young children. You know, time went on. For a time, my uncle had a profession, but the Christian life was very difficult, and after going to church for a couple of years, he just simply quit. Quit going to church, and it's been many, many years he has not been a professing Christian. If you'd ask him, he'd say, I believe in God. Yeah, I want to be a Christian, but there's no real profession. Time has gone on, and the children have grown up. They've grown up. And this is the second to the youngest, and he's 27 years old. He's single. And he was on his motorcycle. And this past Thursday afternoon, I don't know what all he was doing on Thursday, but this past Thursday afternoon, he was up here in Massillon at a little dairy, at a little ice cream stand. And he stopped there before going on home. My cousin. He got his ice cream. He ate it. And he jumped on his motorcycle and he headed for home. And coming over 172. Heading toward Dalton. At 4:05. P.M. He's going about 55 miles an hour, and he came to that intersection, and there's a tractor trailer pulls to turn left on 93 and did not see the motorcycle coming. And he hit the tractor head on at 55 miles an hour. And he was immediately snatched from this life. He's gone. And of course, we don't know his heart. We don't know the things that only God knows. But I stand here today and I consider the choices that were made in years gone by, and come on up through the choices that were made time after time. Small choices that were made. And today, there's a young man in eternity. And I have no reason to believe there's any reason to believe that he is with God. And I'm sure leaving that dairy, that little ice cream stand, and heading for home, there was no thought in his mind that his life is going to be taken in 5 minutes. There's no thought of that. He came through there, and they say there is a little bit of skid marks on the road. That's how long he had to prepare for eternity when it was at his face. Instantaneous. Boom. Gone. His mother left her husband, this young man's father. She left her husband a number of years ago and went off to, she's with some other man. Broken home. Children devastated. Small decisions that led to where those things are today. Small decisions. This evening we're going to go to the viewing. There's only one viewing. There's not so much as a church for them to get, to have them. The mothers or the grandparents of this young man, there's a church up here by Dalton where this girl or where the mom would have grown up, and they opened their doors for them to have a viewing and a funeral at this church. But for the family, there's not even as much as a church to have the viewing and the funeral, except with the grandparents. And you look at where things are, it makes you sad. Makes you very sad. So when I was thinking about all that, what I'd like to do this morning is just look at quite a few scriptures and look at what hell is described as. What hell is described as. I brought this along. And at the end of the service, Kennard is going to take a couple of these pieces down to the little storage shed. I considered doing it in here, but I was afraid that we wouldn't be able to stay in here if we would. But this right here, here a number of years ago, there's a number of us that were over in Israel. And when we were over there, we went to the place where there was Sodom and Gomorrah there by the Dead Sea. And in the ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah, where it was all burnt, in those ruins, you dig through there, there is brimstone. Now, the Bible says that God showered down fire and brimstone. And this is brimstone, quote, sulfur. And I thought that it might be helpful for us, and you know, we're going to look at how it of what it what hell is described as. But last evening, I took some of these pieces in front of our house on the walkway. And we lit it. And there's this brimstone. There's many of these things in the Bible that we read and we don't get what's really happening. But this brimstone, this sulfur, the smell that it produces is quite something. It's choking. Okay, so I was there and I was lighting it. And I was on the far side of you know, where there was a little breeze gone, and I couldn't smell anything. And there are some of the others that were standing and bending down looking at it, and all of a sudden this whiff came up and hit their noses, and it was very, very choking. It was horrible. I moved over, and all of a sudden it came, and it was so strong it burned my nostrils. Now, last night, all evening, as I was studying, that smell hung in my nose, and I had it on my fingers. I had washed my hands, and the smell was still there. And so what we're going to do, in the end, after we're finished, we're going to light it down in the little shed down here. We're going to light it in there so that the smell is there. And everyone's going to be welcome to go down and smell it. Okay? You're going to be welcome to do that, and we're going to take a couple of the smallest pieces here and light it, and you can go down and smell it. What I have right here, if I'd light these up here, it would get so strong in here that none of you would stay in here. You'd walk out the door. You couldn't make it. It's that strong. If I would light all of these pieces. The choking smell that this produces is phenomenal. And the Bible calls it brimstone, and it says that's what's going to be in hell. (Clears throat) I'd like to start this morning by just describing, using some of the descriptions, putting out some of the descriptions that that the Bible uses to describe hell. Now, I understand if we talk about hell, hell is used in various ways. And I don't profess to understand everything of how all that is. It clearly seems like when people die, they go to a place and then later there's a judgment. And both of those places are described as hell. But then there's also what's called a lake of fire, used interchangeably with hell as well. And so I don't profess to understand clearly how all that is. But what I'm talking about this morning when we talk about hell, we're talking about the eternal fire that'll always be there, that people who choose not to serve God, people who live in sin, is their eternal destiny. That's what we want to talk about this morning. The eternal resting place of those who don't serve God. Here is one of, and there's 17 descriptions here that I want to look at first. There's 17 terms that are used to describe hell. It's described as a pit. Hell is described as a pit. In the Old Testament, when Joseph was put into the pit, Joseph was put into the pit and he wasn't able to get out. But hell is described as a pit. You're not able to get out. Hell is described as a lake of fire. You know what a lake is? There's some of you who like to go fishing, right? There's this vast body of water. Well, this isn't a vast body of water. This is a vast body of fire. It's described as a lake of fire. Hell is described as a furnace of fire. A furnace of fire. And when we think about a furnace of fire, many of us immediately think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who went into the fiery furnace. Here recently, I was looking at some pictures, and I was reading the story of this huge fire that was going. There's a building that was burning, and it looked like a furnace. This whole building was burning. And in the middle of this whole building being burnt, there's a man that wanted to commit suicide. And this man ran through the people and right into the flames, and he just ran in the middle of it and threw himself in there. He was killed. And it looked like, to me, it looked like a furnace. This huge body of fire, a furnace. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went into the fire, but they were still alive. It's also described... It's described as a place of torment in the flame. A place of torment in the flame. And when I think of torment, I think of many of the people in Scripture, as well as in the martyr's mirror, who there is horrible things done to torment them. There was screws turned into their tongues. They were put on a rack and their bodies were pulled apart. There was hot irons taken and poked into them, and they were being tormented. Here it's described, hell is described as a place of torment in the flame. Hell is described as a place of wailing. I can't imagine that. Hell is described as a place of wailing, where there's wailing, people just crying out. You know, I'm going to say the worst wailing that I have ever heard is people wailing out of sorrow for their loved ones when their loved ones were taken away from them. And there's wailing. Just wailing. I don't know that I can imagine millions and millions of people. And the wailing. Hell is described as a place of wailing. And it's described as a place of gnashing their teeth. Oh, I don't see that very often. I don't see that very often where people gnash their teeth because of the agony. Gnash their teeth in agony. But hell is described as a place of agony, and it's described as a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth. I can't imagine that, but it's described as that. Hell is described as the fire that shall never be quenched. A fire that shall never be quenched. Now, it wasn't so long ago that Brother Paul had his shop fire. And the fire started small, and it grew, and as time went on, more of the shop became engulfed in the flames, and they quickly tried to extinguish it, and the fire trucks came and they quenched the flames. They put out the fire. But hell is described as a place that the fire will never be quenched. It'll never be quenched for all of eternity. It'll never be quenched. Hell is described as a place of fire unquenchable. Not only won't it ever be quenched, it says that it is unquenchable. So that means that, you know, all the fire extinguishers and all the water and everything that you want to put on that fire cannot even extinguish it. The fire is unquenchable. It's unquenchable. Hell is described as a place of everlasting fire. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about Adam and Eve. Roughly, I think 6,000 years ago, the earth was created, and Adam and Eve. And there's this time frame between then and now of about 6,000 years. Now, I say that's long. Whew, that's long. But eternal fire, once there's 6,000 years, it has only begun. I think about my small lifetime. You know, my earliest recollections of maybe being 3 years old. And I remember things that happened when I was 3 years of age. I remember that. And so from that point all the way till now is maybe 45 years. And I sat there thinking, how would it be if I would be in unquenchable fire? How would it be if I would be in this lake of fire? How would it be if I was there in this fire that's unquenchable for 45 years? And and then it's only begun. Hell is described as hell fire. Hell is described where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Now, that whole idea of where the worm dieth not, maybe you can help me with that. But the way I understand that scripture, where the worm dieth not, is that man will be put into that lake of fire, into that eternal fire, into that furnace of fire, that place of torment, and man will continue to live. You know, today, when man goes into a fire, it's only a matter of time, and the body literally shuts down, it's dead, it's gone, and it's over. But here it says, here it says that where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So our bodies, those who go to hell fire, those that go there, their bodies will continue to live forever. And their bodies won't shut down like they do today. It won't happen. They're going to be in a continued state of torment for years and years and years. And after a million years, that has only started. It's forever. Hell is described. It says, upon the wicked shall he rain snares and fire and brimstone. So it says that he's going to rain fire and brimstone. Brimstone. He's going to rain fire and brimstone. And in a horrible tempest. He's going to rain fire and brimstone. And number 12. It says he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. That's quite the description. Let me read that again. It says that he shall be tormented, you know, tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now, I don't profess to understand what all this brimstone does. We understand what fire does to us, right? The little that I know about this brimstone is that this brimstone turns into a liquid form. As you'll see, it turns into a liquid form. And it becomes very, very hot. And it burns. You touch it, it burns. When God rained down fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah, upon the whole city, the brimstone made that whole place much hotter than fire itself ever would. The brimstone turns into a liquid and it becomes hot. And here it says, they will be tormented with fire and brimstone. Here's some more descriptions. It says, and the smoke of their torment. Now, I was sitting there trying to figure out what that is. The smoke of their torment. Okay? We're going to be tormented, right? Those who will be in there, will be tormented. But the smoke from the torment rose up. The smoke from the torment. I don't know, maybe you can explain to me more what that means. The smoke from their torment. The smoke from their torment ascendeth up forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Here's another description. It says, and they have no rest day nor night. They have no rest. You know how it is? I think many of us have, we have this time here and there where we get a little bit of sleep. You know, we don't get much sleep. We get maybe 2 hours or 3 hours of sleep. And the next morning we can work. And the next evening we come home and we're so tired. We're wore out. There's just every bone within us is just totally, we're just, that in itself is just, and we fall into bed and we sleep. And oh, what a rest comes. This sweet rest comes from the sleep. But listen to this. This says, and they have no rest. How much is no? None. There is no rest. There is no rest. There is no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. They have no rest day nor night. Here's another description. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Here's another description. In chains of darkness. In chains of darkness. What's chains of darkness? I remember being in a cavern one time. We all walked in there. And they took us through the caverns. Down, 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 down. We walked for 20 minutes. Finally, we were at a place. There's water flowing through there. There's this cave and things. And the guy had warned us earlier, sometime I'm going to turn the lights off, but I'm not going to warn you. So we walked through there. And all of a sudden, he snapped the lights off. And there was a darkness there like I have never, ever seen, ever. I could put my finger in front of my eyes, in front of my nose, and I could not see my finger in front of my eyes, or in front of my nose. There was a total darkness. See, when we go outside at night, or if we're in our house, there's still a tinge of light there. Here it describes hell as chains of darkness. It describes hell as chains of darkness. And it describes hell that there's a great gulf fixed. That no one can pass through. Isn't that something? I don't think we have any idea. We have any idea. In our wildest imaginations, we don't even come close to what it's to imagining the horror, the torment. That place will have. We just don't. Now, if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, I'd like to just read a number of verses in Luke chapter 16. We just want to read through there about the rich man and Lazarus. Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to start reading in verse 23. We're just going to break in. We're just going to break in on the part where it starts describing where the rich man is going and where he was and where it gives some description. We won't read the whole account. We're just going to break in there. Luke chapter 16, and we're going to start reading in verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you, neither can they pass to us, that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. It's interesting where his focus went to. All of a sudden, he realized there was no way out for him. But he started thinking, he started being an evangelist, right? All of a sudden, he had the gift of an evangelist. He was ready to share the gospel. He wanted the gospel to be spread that no one else would even consider coming there. He said, For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come also into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Now, I used to not understand that as clearly. It says that, this new evangelist in hell, he was wanting to have his, people go and be warned, and he was really, he wanted to make sure no one else comes into hell. Well, Jesus said, or the response from Abraham was that though someone would actually from hell rise up from the dead. Okay, so Brother Monroe, there's many of you that know Brother Monroe. He passed away. And all of a sudden, I don't know that that's a good description because he's in heaven, right? That's maybe a bad description. But someone we know would rise from the dead and would come and warn us. There's something about the hardness of men that miracles like that can happen and people just sit there like it doesn't faze them, it doesn't affect them. It doesn't. Literally, if you look at miracles happening and all kinds of things happening, that doesn't change the hearts of men. It doesn't. It doesn't change the hearts of men. All those things still come back to a man needs to make a decision to serve God, a decision to turn away. All kinds of things can happen. Recently, I was told of a man that said that if this miracle happens, then this is what I'll do. And some time went on and this miracle happened, and he never did it because it was too much of a price, too much of a cost involved in order to do it. That's the nature of us as people. Okay, there can be all kinds of miracles and things happen, but when it all shakes down, it's a decision that you and I need to make to serve God. Okay, I would like to just look very quickly at a couple of the torments that the rich man had, just from a little bit different perspective than the descriptions that we did earlier. And the first one I'd like to just look at is, here was Lazarus, or he was a rich man, and he found himself in hell. He was in hell, no way out. He was there, that's where he was. And in hell, he saw Abraham afar off. He saw Abraham afar off. Now, maybe I'm taking this out of context and saying things that I shouldn't, but according to these verses, it would seem like the people from hell can look across and they can see the beauties of heaven. They can see the people they used to know. And can you just imagine the torment that that would bring? It would seem like that's the case. It would seem like they're actually able to look up and they can see in the middle of their torment, in the middle of all the things that they're having, they're able to look. And he was able to see Abraham. Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Here's another one. It says, remember that thou in thy lifetime. Can you just imagine being in hell and being able to just think of time after time? You know, I remember that time when that man came and he shared the gospel with me and he warned me. Then my mind goes to the next one. You know, and here I had an opportunity. You know, right there was an opportunity where I could have just surrendered my life. Right there I could have repented of my sin. I could have turned from my own way. And all those memories just flood back one after the other. Our memories in hell, our memories are going to be very clear. In hell, the memories that we have of the opportunities are going to be very clear. Remember that in thy lifetime. Here's another one. There is a great gulf fixed. There is a great gulf fixed. There's a great gulf fixed, and there's no going back and forth. There's a great gulf fixed, and there's no going back and forth. Here's another one. The rich man, he called for help. He called for help. He wanted a drop of water. He called for help, and there was no help. I wonder, all of us sitting here this morning, I wonder if we were as serious as what the people in hell are going to be, I wonder how that would affect us today. You follow? I wonder how that would be if we were that serious as the people that are in hell. How serious would we be? How serious would we be? He called for help. He called for help. He begged for help. He begged for a drop of water. He begged that they would come and tell his brothers. There's no help. There's no help. Now, there's a couple of other things we'd also briefly like to look at. Is that hell, originally, hell was made for the devil and his angels. Hell was not made for man. It specifically says that hell was made for the devil and his angels. And then man sinned against God. So hell was specifically made for the devil and his angels. In Matthew 25, verse 41, then shall he also say unto them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Here's another thing interesting to note about hell, is that hell was enlarged. Hell was enlarged. because of the masses of people, hell was enlarged. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged itself. And if you look at the context is talking about people living in sin, living against God and in all kinds of immorality. And because of all these people, it says, therefore, or because of that, hell hath enlarged herself. That's phenomenal. Hell hath enlarged herself. Now I want to just read a couple verses. There's many, many verses. In fact, the interesting thing is if you go through Scripture, there's more reference made to hell, eternal fire. There's more scriptures about hell than there is about heaven. Much more. And shame on me for never preaching about it, right? I think we need to know what is there. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. And it's specifically talking about Lucifer. In Ezekiel 31, I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall when I cast him down to hell with them that descend into the pit. All the trees of Eden and the choice of the best of Lebanon, all that drink water, shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. They also went down into hell with him, unto them that be slain with a sword, and they that were his arm, that dwelt under the shadow in the midst of the heathen. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Revelation 20, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me just read that last verse again. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My cousin driving along 55 miles an hour, not being reckless, just driving along. And in a moment, he was gone. There's no warning. He's gone. And I sit here wondering, where is he? Where is he? And my intent in sharing all this today is not to stir up things unnecessarily, but I think we do very well to know the consequences of sin. We do very well. And we do very well to realize that there is a judgment coming. And if we have not repented of our sin, that is where we will go. That is where we'll go. It's just that simple. We will go there if we don't repent. Turn with me to Revelation. Not sure, I think 21 maybe. Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. We're going to start reading in verse 8. Where it says, but the fearful, and this isn't just talking about having little fears. This is talking about an overpowering fear that comes in ways when we don't walk with God. It says, but the fearful and the unbelieving. Okay? In order to get right with God, we need to repent and believe on God. It says, but the unbelieving. Let me just clarify this. The Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. They believe. There's an assent, an acknowledgement, and believing that God is really God. There's a believing that there's a hell. There's a believing there's a hell. But the believing that it's referring to is when there is a clear repentance, a confession, a turning away from sin. And then there is an embracing God, an embracing Jesus, where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Believing in him for our salvation. It says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If we're not ready to meet God, then we do very well to fear. Right? If we're not ready to meet God, then we do very well to fear. If we have our sins washed away, we have faith in God, there's no need to fear. So my encouragement this morning is just very simply, if there are some here who are not ready, then we do very well to move forward and prepare now. We do very well. If you know that there are things between you and God, there's no promise that we have even another 15 minutes. May God help us It's right for us to fear hell, to fear God. But we don't have to be in that place where that controls us. We can be at a place of rest, like Brother Nathan was sharing about this morning. We can be at a place of rest. So where are you? Where are you this morning? Are you at a place of rest? Or are you at a place where you know that is where you would go? I think it'd be good if we just have a song. Brandon, could we have a song? If there are those who would like to respond, just come to the forward and kneel in the front. You don't have to wait long. Just come up front and we won't be here trying to bring pressure or force or anything. But we are here. If you're at a place where you're not right with God, do respond to God. Get right with God, because we don't want anyone to go there. So if there is someone, just come and kneel in the front while we sing.